Oh, that's a big piñata. That's nice. My name is Mario Aguilar, and I am the capitán or the leader of a traditional Azteca dance group here in San Diego called Danza Mexicayot. I also teach an introduction to Nahuatl class at San Diego State. This is Lorenzo. He's one of our dancers too. And he's been coming to the posadas for a long time. Hopefully this piñata won't break on us too early.
Like last year.
Yeah. Who broke it last year?
I think it was Lola.
That's probably plenty, huh?
Yeah.
Because if it's too heavy, it'll break. The posadas are a tradition brought from Europe to Mexico. And it commemorates the travel of Joseph and Mary looking for shelter on Christmas Eve. The posada in Mexico is really a way to unite the neighborhoods together. And it's a way to celebrate the spirit of Christmas as well as it is to celebrate the spirit of the children, you know, the youth. In Spanish, posada means a place to rest, kind of like a hostel would be or a hotel. Pedir posada means to ask for permission to spend the night. Each day of the 9 days, a different home would sponsor the party, and you'd go to all the homes that are participating, and you'd ask for permission to spend the night. And of course, part of the asking for housing for the night is it's all done with villancicos, which are the carols, the beating the posada to ask for permission to stay, and then the people in the house say, no, you can't, you guys are probably a bunch of bums, thieves, and you might beat us up, so go away, get lost, you know, and they say, hey, but, you know, we have my wife, she's pregnant, and they say, I don't care who you are, get out of here. And then finally, the house that's sponsoring the party for that night says, yes, you can come in. And it's a response. Everybody sings on the inside, everybody sings on the outside. I was born in Mexico City, but I was raised here. So the earliest memories I had was when we would go to Mexico for Christmas. And most of my cousins live in Mexico. And I got like, I don't know about seems like 200 cousins at times. And it was the only really time where I felt like I belonged to a family, because here I didn't have my family. All my aunts and uncles, my grandparents were in Mexico City. And, you know, for those short 2 or 3 days, those short 6, 7 hours where we would be running around in the street and they'd put the piñata up. And when a car came through the street, you had to stop and move away and let the car go through and then come back to hit the piñata. They were just, you know, really incredibly rich and happy, you know, memories. And so when my kids were growing up, they got to a point where we thought, you know, we should do it even if it's just with our neighbors. And even if it's just one party, just so that the kids have that feeling and they know what the posada is about. And over the years, as our kids grew up, new kids came from our dance group, and we have all these little costumes that we use with them. And so now the kids that were doing this now are in their 20s, and now we have new kids that are putting on the costumes of Joseph and Mary and the angels and stuff. So it's actually building that multi-generation tradition that has been very much alive in Latin America for centuries. And tragically, it's dying out there, and it's kind of growing here. Well, we're waiting for a couple more families for the kids to get here. And then we go through the always fun selecting the Joseph and Mary characters and angels. And some people want to be angels, some people don't want to be angels, so that's always interesting. And then once they're all here, then we'll start go down to the houses down the street and do the posada part.
Hey, Nico.
Hey, the monster. Are you getting
dressed
up today?
Yeah.
Since our neighborhood is a very diverse neighborhood and not everybody's Mexican or Chicano, you can't go to 9 different houses and do the you know, the process. So we go to a couple of our neighbors' house, and then we go to our front door, a couple of our back doors, as symbolizing you're going to different homes. The food very much is different. It varies. It's potluck. So one year you might have tamales. My wife's cooking a guajolote, a turkey. And the next year everybody brings ham or Kentucky Fried Chicken, you know. We're getting the romaine lettuce ready for the Caesar salad. And we're going to toss it here so that the Romano cheese and the dressing get mixed in together.
What kind of cheese you put now?
The Romano?
Dressing.
Yeah, the Caesar salad, the one I make at home. You put anchovies, you put Dijon mustard and Worcestershire sauce, lots of garlic and lots of anchovies.
Wow. Like I said, it's real good.
Compadre's own recipe.
No, it's the internet. It's an ancient Aztec recipe from the internet. In Mexico, the traditional foods for the posadas and for Christmas are very indigenous. Tamales, that's an Aztec word, tamale. Mole, you know, turkey in mole. Turkey's an indigenous animal here. Guajolote comes from huixolot in Aztec, in Nahuatl. So a lot of the food that we have, the punch that we have, the Christmas punch, el ponche navideño, has guayabas, which are indigenous to this land. It has membrillo, it has jamaica, the hibiscus flower, which are indigenous to this land. So in Mexico, chocolate, you know, very much a part of Christmas, comes from this land, vanilla. So all of these indigenous foods have become very much a part of Christmas in Mexico and through the influence of Mexican culture throughout the world. The famous... ours outside, I guess, the famous poinsettias are indigenous to Mexico, and they're called cuitlaxochitl, which means excrement flower. There they are. And the reason they're called that is because the birds would eat the seeds, and they would appear, the plants would appear to come out of the excrement of birds or animals, and they'd say, well, you know, that's a flower that comes out of the excrement, so it's called excrement flower. But we know it as Nochebuena in Spanish, or poinsettias, but those two throughout the world are seen as the classic Christmas symbol, and they're very much a Mexican indigenous plant. Is it who Saint Joseph is? You are?
Yeah, if he's the same height as us. You guys all know what you guys are? Or the kings? We have two kings, Mary, Joseph.
Okay, let's go. Okay.
Tuning up for the songs that are going to be sung right now. We're like the band.
We're going to go down to my neighbor Evelyn's house down the street on the other side. And then we're going to come to this house. And then the front door and then the back door. For us as Chicanos, as Mexicanos living on this side of the border, the posada has taken on the symbolism of us as the itinerant migrants who have come to this country to in search of a better life, and the image of Joseph and Mary staying in the stable with their baby being born in a manger where animals drink their water is very symbolic of what we go through when we get here, you know. Coming over poor or undocumented and taking the worst kinds of jobs, people, you know, putting down and telling you to go back where you came from. And so the posada has its roots in our searching for our homes, our roots, our heritage. We bring this culture and this heritage here and make it American. And we also bring that sense of finding a home. My favorite part, besides the food, really for me, is the little kids dressing up and walking around, you know, pretending they're an angel or a Saint Joseph or Mary. for me, that always is the most enjoyable part, because it's when the kids are so innocent and pure, and they get jazzed by holding a bamboo stick and pretending like it's a shepherd's, you know, crook, you know. And we don't have that in our society anymore. Everything is TV or video games or computers, or, you know, that's so dead. That's 6 months ago, you know. And this is like, wow, this is 500, 600, 700, 800, 900 years. And for that moment, all these little kids are, this is their moment in those 900 years, you know. Well, we're going to break the dreaded piñata, and there's candies and other surprises in there, and hopefully the kids don't destroy the neighborhood grabbing the candy, so we'll see what happens here. In the old days, they were made out of clay, and they were decorated with paper mache, and were filled with simple things that people had, colación, which is a kind of dry, hard little candies, oranges, apples, peanuts. People had money, they threw in pesos, 50 cent pieces, whatever. And for many kids, including my dad, he grew up in a little indigenous village up in the mountains of Mexico, that was the only time you got oranges or apples. That was your Christmas present. Today, you know, kids want, you know, Xboxes and things, so they're not going to be too happy with oranges or apples or even peanuts coming out of a piñata. So now you get the SpongeBob or the Barbie or the Batman piñatas instead of the star of Christmas, and they're filled with the latest gummy worms and chocolates and that kind of stuff. So that, too, changes, and it still, to me, it still symbolizes the excitement of being a little kid and finding joy in really simple things. I think for me, it's just knowing that you're a part of something that's been going on for hundreds of years, you know, whether it's the indigenous roots or the European roots that are part of Mexican Chicano culture. It's knowing that you're part of a chain of history. And, you know, in our society, we're taught that everything is based on the individual. Everything is about me, myself, I. And in the traditional cultures throughout the world, it's us, it's we. That's the most important concept. And so by doing these things that we do, we kind of refocus ourselves as we, as us. And that's what keeps tradition alive. It's not something that you learn in a book or you take a lecture course in. It's something you live in and you watch from being a little child with, you know, big eyes and everything's mysterious and glamorous and beautiful. Then you become a teen and it's kind of like, ugh, this is boring, right? Then you become an adult and you think, oh man, this is a lot of hard work. And then you become a parent and you say, I'm doing it for my kids. And then you become a grandparent and you say, I'm doing it for my grandkids, you know. And then you're gone. But what you did is still left behind. And hopefully they will love it as much as we did. They will get so much joy out of it that they are willing to do all the hassle and all the preparation it takes to do this just for the sheer beauty of it.